Praise be Jesus and Mary. In today's gospel passage, our Lord continues his Sermon on the Mount, and this time we have reached some of his more challenging moral teachings, particularly that of the need for us, his followers, to practice charity, you know, towards our own enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You know, again, this moral teaching of Christ is very challenging. Or we could say, we must admit right away, it's impossible. It is impossible for man alone and left to his own resources, or better still, his lack of resources. But with God, of course, all things are possible, even the living out of this divine command on our part to love our enemies. It's not natural to love one's enemies, at least for us in our fallen state, but it's supernatural. It's not human, but divine. It is a mark of the true Christian to love one's enemies. G.K. Chesterton once said this, "The Bible tells us to love our neighbors and also to love our enemies, probably because generally they are the same people." It was always right on the mark, Chesterton. Now for us, our neighbors may not necessarily be our enemies, at least not all of them, but rest assured we do have our enemies out there, those who really do hate and despise us. And in present-day America, we Christians, Catholics, are not particularly liked by a good number of people. You know, we are considered to be enemies of progress, you know, enemies of the state, as it were. But these enemies of ours should still have a place in our hearts. We need to make distinctions. And we can't approve of the sinful behavior of our enemies, it's true. We don't approve of their sinfulness, but we can and still must love them. This is how the Catechism of the Catholic Church puts it. Liberation in the spirit of the gospel is incompatible with hatred for one's enemy as a person, but not with hatred of the evil that he does as an enemy. St. Augustine masterfully and eloquently puts it this way, this distinction that we must respect our enemies. He says, not because they are brothers, but because brothers they must become. One must show fraternal love towards him who is already a brother and towards the one who acts as an enemy so that he may become a brother. Another wonderful quote of St. Augustine is this, if you are suffering from a bad man's injustice, forgive him, lest there be two bad men. In short, we have to hate the sin but love the sinner. And that's not easy to do, not always easy to distinguish in practice. We speak about the imitation of Christ, and we perhaps consult that wonderful book of Thomas A. Kempis. It is right for us to do so, you know, to imitate the divine master, Christ Jesus, perfect example of holiness for us to follow as Christians, it's obvious. And as a master teacher, Jesus put into practice everything he taught, at least the moral teachings that he expected his disciples to practice, including this one we're reflecting on today, the love of one's enemies. In fact, you know, Jesus loved his enemies even when he was suffering most on their account, you know, on the cross. As he was suffering and dying, as he was just stretched out on the cross, you know, he actually, of course, forgave his enemies, those ones who nailed him to the cross, you know, and he uttered those astounding words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And countless saints follow this example of the divine master. Countless saints, beginning with Saint Stephen, the first Christian martyr, who died, you know, and while being stoned to death, actually forgave those who were stoning him, saying, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Jumping ahead to the 13th century, there's a Florentine priest, St. Peregrine Laziosi. He's the special patron saint of cancer sufferers and those who suffer any serious illness. You know, when he was a youth, believe it or not, he was actually irreligious, and he was actively involved in some political movement in Florence against the church, against the Pope, you know, something that was maybe schismatic. So the Pope sent one day to the town to settle matters, the great Servite friar, St. Philip Benizi. And he was approached by Peregrine, who struck him on the face. You know, he couldn't stand, you know, this outsider trying to come in and change things. So when St. Philip responded simply by obeying Jesus' command to turn the other cheek, you know, Peregrine was much touched. He repented of his sinfulness, reverted back to the faith, and actually became a Servite friar himself, a great saint. St. Mary Goretti, another classic example, someone who loved, you know, her enemy in particular. She was murdered in 1902 at the age of 12 by her very own neighbor, Alessandro Serinelli, who attempted to rape her. And as St. Maria Goretti was dying in the hospital from those 14 stab wounds, you know, she fervently prayed for Alessandro, saying, "I forgive Alessandro Serinelli, and I want him with me in heaven forever." And as you know, Alessandro, while in prison, received a special visit of St. Maria with Our Lady, giving to him those lilies, you know, I think one for each stab wound she received. And of course, Alessandro converted, repented of his sin, and thereafter lived a very devout life. And more recently, of course, who can forget the marvelous example of mercy, of love for one's enemies, of St. John Paul II, who forgave his would-be assassin, the Turkish Muslim Mehmet Ali Gaga. You know, and years later, after this encounter with the Pope, you know, he eventually, we are told, we're informed, he converted to Christianity, truly touched by, you know, the mercy of Christ, you know, as communicated through Pope John Paul II, the Divine Mercy Pope. And speaking of Divine Mercy, you know, we're still in the wake, you could say, of the Year of Mercy that we celebrated last year, concluding in December. A year, hopefully, that served its purpose well on our part. You know, that is instilling in us a more profound appreciation of the infinite mercy of God towards us, all poor sinners. And hopefully made us more generous in our response to be instruments of that very mercy to others, especially those who have offended us, those who are our enemies, those who hate us. And really the only thing that can put a stop to kind of squelch, you know, the fires of diabolical hatred out there in the world that really consumes and is destroying so many human hearts, you know, is the love and mercy of Christ that is communicated through individual Christians like you and me, you know, to be vessels, as it were, of that mercy of Christ, putting into practice, you know, the various spiritual and corporal works of mercy, but at the very least, you know, praying, you know, for our enemies. It's the very least we can do. And even that's not easy to do. We have to force ourselves, and of course it requires God's grace, to genuinely forgive others and pray for them, pray for God's mercy. Believe it or not, someone like St. Faustina, the very apostle of divine mercy, you know, writing in her diary reveals her difficulties for praying for those who hated her. She writes in her diary this: "During Holy Mass, I saw Jesus stretched out on the cross, and he said to me, 'My pupil, have great love for those who cause you suffering. Do good to those who hate you.' I answered, 'Oh, my master, you see very well that I feel no love for them, and that troubles me.' Jesus answered, 'It is not always within your power to control your feelings. You will recognize that you have love if, after having experienced annoyance and contradiction, you do not lose your peace, but pray for those who have made you suffer and wish them well.'" So yes, we can all at least, and should at least, pray for our enemies, all of them, whether they be certain politicians, you know, that you know, we know of, who are up to no good, but doing much evil, or certain movie or music stars also, you know, up to no good, you know, causing so much upheaval and destruction of morals, you know, and giving bad examples, if not sacrilegious, you know, expressions, you know, against our faith. Or, of course, you know, we have the Muslim terrorists out there we might, you know, find as objects of hatred to us, or even our next-door neighbors, for that matter. All of these we must learn to love and keep in mind that all of us were once enemies of God. That is, until Christ has shed his blood for us, making us, you know, friends with God. And this is a reminder that St. Paul makes in his letter to the Romans when he says, "But God proves his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Indeed, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, once reconciled, will we be saved by his life?" And later in the same letter to the Romans, St. Paul could write, and this is a good summary of what we have reflected on today, and with his words, we conclude, "Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good." Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Christus.